All right, we're going to be getting into the Word of God today. How many's ready to get into God's Word? Wow, what a great time of worship we had this morning. Wasn't that powerful? Isn't God good? And I believe that even better things are going to happen before we leave here today. It's going to be Matthew chapter 14. I'm going to sort of piggyback on what we talked about last week with Peter walking on water. And just to reread the story so we all know what we're talking about here. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, it says, "Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, 'It is a ghost.' And they cried in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid.' And Peter answered him, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' So Peter got out of the boat and walked on water and came to Jesus." Last week we talked about water walkers. And we want to be water walkers. We want to get out of the boat and we want to go, like Peter, we want to go and be with Jesus in the supernatural realm of the water. And this week, I want to talk to us about get your feet wet. Get your feet wet. If we're ever going to do what God called us to do, if we're ever going to live the life that he called us to live, we're going to have to get our feet wet at some point. All right, so that's what we're going to be talking about today. Why don't we just lift up our hands and ask that God would bless his word? Why don't you pray that God would give you an open ear to hear what God might be trying to communicate to you? Lord, I pray, God, help us to hear your word today. Lord, I pray if there's anybody that's here today, God, that they just need to be encouraged. God, I pray you encourage them right now in the name of Jesus and help us to walk out of here full of life and full of victory. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. So God is calling us to walk on water. That Peter asked Jesus if he could come with him and walk on the water, and Jesus told him to come. And Jesus supernaturally enabled him to walk on water. And when Jesus was walking on water, he was displaying his dominion and his supernatural power. This story wasn't put in the Bible just as a cool story to sensationalize things and to, you know, be something that we would talk about as, you know, something that's really spectacular. It was much more than that. It was Jesus showing his domination over the natural world and enabling us to walk in that supernatural world with him. And so we cannot do that on our own. We need Jesus to walk on water. We need Jesus to help us to do the supernatural. And so this story shows us that God is calling us out of the boat and to walk into a supernatural realm with him, but we'll never experience that as long as we stay in the boat and we stay in our comfort zone. And so we must accept the idea that God is constantly moving and God is constantly calling us out of the boat. We have to make it a lifestyle to get out of the boat. We have to make it a lifestyle to walk on water and to live in the supernatural. And to follow Jesus means that we're constantly moving. How many knows that we can't stay here? We can't stay here. I love you all, but I can't stay here. I have to be moving because God is moving. God has greater things for you than staying where you're at. God has greater things from your family than just staying where you're at. God has greater things for us as a church as staying here. God has more people for us to reach. God has more people for us to help. God has greater supernatural experiences for us than what we've experienced up to now. And the only way we're going to experience those greater things is to get out of the boat. We have to be following Jesus because God, he is not stationary. He is a moving God, and wherever he is moving, that's where we want to be. Does anyone feel that way today? So following Jesus, you say, I'm a follower of Jesus. Well, when's the last time you got out of the boat? When's the last time you took a step of faith? And here's what I want us to focus on today specifically is this, is that we have to get our feet wet. And I know this, is a figure of speech. When we say you got to get your feet wet, that means you got to take the first steps. You got to take that first step of faith. You have to really follow through on what you say you believe and actually put that faith to action and do something and take that first step. And here's what I want us to notice is that Jesus gave Peter to come out there with him on the water, but Jesus didn't grab him out of the boat and make him. Peter was the one that would have to take the first step. And if you're going to go out with Jesus out on the water, if you're going to be a water walker, you're going to have to get your feet wet. You're going to have to take the first step. You're going to have to follow through. This is because, the first step, when you think about it, that's often the scariest, isn't it? Often the scariest thing to do in life is to take that first step of follow through on something. If you're a guy, sometimes the scariest thing to do is to call her for the first time. Amen. It's those first steps. Why? Because we don't know what we're getting into. We don't know what's about to happen. It's a total leap of faith when you take that first step. And it feels awkward, and it might even look silly to try something you've never done before. It might look stupid to the outside world. Why is he doing that? Why is she doing that? Why? Because we're doing something different, and we're taking the first step. And we often know that God is powerful. How many here today believe that God is powerful? How many believe that God can do supernatural things? How many believe that God created everything we see? Anybody believe that? And it's easy to say those things, but it's much different when we actually have to take a first step of faith and we have to follow through on those things, where we have to write the first check, where we have to show up and fill out the application for that job. It's easy to say, God, I believe you can do this, but it's much different to actually put that faith and follow through and do the first steps. And so believing in the supernatural means nothing if I'm not willing to take certain steps myself. I can say I believe that my car can get me to Texas all I want to, but if I'm not willing to get in the car and turn the key and let the car do what it was meant to do, my faith in that car means absolutely nothing. We have to take the first steps, and often those first steps are the scariest. How many in here know somebody that's always talking about what they're going to do? Always talking about the business they're going to build. Always talking about the degree they're going to get. Always talking about this and this. Always grandiose plans and big dreams. And that's fine. Have you ever noticed that it never happens for some of those people? You know why? Because they're not willing to take the first step. They're not willing to step out of the boat and get their feet wet. They're very comfortable about talking, but they're very uncomfortable when it comes to doing. And so we have to get our feet wet. We have to take that first step. And I imagine as Peter was about to take that first step out of that boat, that was probably the scariest part of the whole thing. Because he's reaching out in faith, and if he sinks in the middle of the storm, R.I.P. Peter, right? That's the end of Peter's story. And so it's that first step out of that boat that causes us the most fear and intimidation. And if we're going to walk on water, though, we have to take that first step. You know, in the Word of God, the children of Israel, they were led out of Egypt and they wandered in the wilderness. And then they're brought to the edge of the promised land that God had for them. And God gave Joshua, their leader who followed Moses, specific instructions. And they had to cross this river called the Jordan River. And it was a raging river. And it was something that, you know, at that time they didn't have a bridge. And so they needed a miracle to get into the promised land that God had for them. You know, we all have hopes and dreams. We all have a promised land that God has for us. We all have a destiny that God has for us. But oftentimes there's a river that keeps us from that promised land and where we're at now. And I want you to look and see what God instructed Joshua to do. He said, I want you to have the priests of the nation to go before you, to go before the people, and they're to have the Ark of the Covenant, which was the presence of God on their shoulders. And here's what I want them to do. Read what he says in Joshua chapter 3, verse 13. He says, when the soles of the feet of the priests bringing the Ark of the Lord, the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing, and the waters coming down from all above shall stand in one heap. Notice what is happening here. He says that when those priests, when they step into that river and they put their feet into that river, when they do that, I am going to stop the river from flowing and you will be able to cross. And I believe that this shows the principle of the first step, the principle of you have to get your feet wet. If you do this, God will do that. If you take the first step, God will help you the rest of the way. But you're going to have to take the first step. He isn't going to grab you out of the boat. He's not going to force you out of the boat. He's not going to force you in the river. You're going to have to take the first step into the river yourself. And once you do that, he will supernaturally help you to get across. Does anybody believe that today? So we're just all talk until we take that first step. God promised Abraham the promised land, a special land for he and his descendants, but he had to take the first step. God wasn't going to supernaturally translate him to that place. He was going to have to walk himself and take those first steps. The law of the first step says this, that God's miraculous power will begin to unfold in our lives when we take the first step. That when we take that first step in faith, he will supernaturally enable us to make the rest of the way. Why do we have to take that first step? Because he wants to see whether our faith is authentic or not. He wants to see if we're just all talk or whether we really believe that God is going to perform what he said he was going to perform. And I want to ask you this question. What is it in your life that you're presently doing that you cannot do without God's supernatural help? What is it in your life that you're presently doing that you cannot do without God's supernatural help? And if you can't think of anything, well, then maybe you're under-challenged. Maybe you're too comfortable in the boat. Maybe you need to start thinking about some things where you can stretch your faith and God can help you to do some things supernaturally in your life, because that's what God wants to do in your life. And what I have found is this, is that God blesses us supernaturally when we take that first step and get our feet wet. It may be the smallest step in the world. It might not look like a big deal to everyone else, but for you, it's really pushing the limits of your faith. And he gives us, here's what happens. When we take that first step, I believe that when Peter took that first step out of that boat, he was terrified. But I believe he, after that first step, and he saw, I'm walking on water. I think maybe he not only walked, I think he might have ran. I think he might have skipped. I think his confidence and God grew. Why? Because God supernaturally helped him to walk on water after he took the initial step of getting out of the boat. And I want to tell you that when you take that first step, don't be surprised if your faith takes off. Don't be surprised if God helps you supernaturally do so much more than what you thought you could do because you were willing just to take one small step. Our faith and confidence in God enlarges after we take that first step and get our feet wet. You know, last week I talked about Danielle and I, we did this bike race, and we had never done anything like that before. And we went and we bought some supplies and we bought some accessories, and we felt like the most ridiculous people in the world getting all these bike supplies because we had no idea what we were getting into. We had no idea what we really needed. And I got to thinking about that this week, and that we were getting our feet wet. We were just, you know, taking those first steps. And I'm not saying we're going to do the Tour de France next year, but we finished. But it shows the small things is that, you know, if you're going to get in the bike race, first you got to get a helmet. You got to get some things. And when you do those small things, when you do those very foundational things, it will help you to go beyond just that starting point and to go deeper in whatever it is you're wanting to get involved in. What are some things that we can do to get our feet wet? What are some things that God has called us to do that maybe we haven't done them or we could do more of them? Maybe it's stepping out of the boat financially and giving more. You know, we believe in the principle of the tithe here, that 10% of all of our income belongs to God. And maybe for you that just sounds like an astounding figure. And for you that would be such a tremendous leap of faith. Well, I want to tell you, get your feet wet and start with 5%. Start with something. Give something back to God. Just as long as it's something that's in faith. And you know what? I believe that if you give him something, he's going to give you the faith to give even more. And how many believes that when we can trust God with our finances, he can trust us more and he can bless us more? And it all starts with just getting our feet wet. And that's why it's important we teach our kids how to give. We teach our kids the principle of giving back to God, because they need to get their feet wet at this stage in life. We need to get their feet wet in prayer and all of the disciplines that we have in our life. And what else could we do to get our feet wet? Maybe God's calling you to go back to school. Maybe you feel like God's leading you to finish your education. Well, you need to get your feet wet and fill out that application. Get your feet wet. It can be as simple as Googling some things and doing some research. Maybe you feel like God wants you to start a business. God wants you to start, you know, something that could be a dream. Well, you need to get your feet wet and just do some research, do some reading, find out what do I have to do to get from point A to point B. It all starts with these simple steps. Perhaps you would like to see a relationship that's been lost brought back together. And I tell you, we can pray for those things all we want to, but somebody's got to get their feet wet and they got to send the first email. They got to send the first text message. They got to make the first phone call. Why? Because those things aren't going to happen unless we take the first step. We take the first step in faith and we get our feet wet with anticipation. You may be desired today. Today you're here and you're hurting. Maybe you're addicted. Maybe you're filled with hurts and hang-ups and habits. Does anybody recognize that language? Well, you need to get your feet wet and just go by the Celebrate Recovery Resource Center and just grab some materials and find out, you know, what do I have to do to get involved here? Show up to a meeting. Show up to a service. That's where it all starts. If you want to recover what Satan has stolen from your life, you got to take some first steps. You know, some people, they expect everybody else to do the work for them, but you have to do some things yourself. And when you do those first things, God will put people around you who will help you to recover, to help you to regain your faith. And we can pray all we want to, right? A lot of people just think, well, if I just pray, if I just pray enough, and prayer's good. We have to pray. But you know what? We also have to do. We also have to do some things. My house is burning down. I can't pray that the fire department will come if I have a phone right here, right? I have to make a call. I have to do some things myself. What did James say in James chapter 2, verse 26? He said, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is what? Dead." It's all talk. Unless you are willing to make those first steps, it's all talk. And so something special happens when we take these first steps. We begin to realize that God is empowering us to go farther beyond where we're at. A holy boldness comes upon us and pushes us on the water away from the boat. You know, one of the greatest things I love to see is people that take those first steps. And maybe nobody else notices it. Maybe for some people, it's just lifting up their hand for the first time to worship God. And for the rest of you, it doesn't look like a big deal. But for me, and I know the story of where that person came from, it looks like, you know, they just won the lottery or something. Why? Because I know of how big of a leap of faith it was for them to do that. It's small things that God blesses. The Word of God says, despise not the day of small things. The first steps. For some of you, that was just, someone came up to me last week and they said, for me to get out of my boat was just showing up this morning. Well, praise God, you're here. That was a first step. Just keep coming to church. That's a step in the right direction. People who walk on water, they are constantly getting their feet wet. They're constantly taking steps of faith out of the boat to follow Jesus. And if you want to do some supernatural things in your life, you need to get your feet wet a little bit every day. Stretch your comfort zone a little bit every day. Do something a little bit different every day. And you'll begin to see that God will bless it when we step out in faith. You will soon find, and here's what I found in my life. is that when I step out of my comfort zone and I try something new, when I step out of my comfort zone, when I step out of my vote, and God supernaturally helps me to do something I haven't done before, there comes a time where you think, you know, I don't know what it was like on the boat. How did I ever live in that boat? How did I ever live that way? How did I ever live in that little comfort zone that I bottled myself into? And when you talk about people who've done incredible things with God and for God, when you talk to them, they don't remember what it's like to live in the boat because they've made water walking a lifestyle. Does anybody want that? Does anybody want to live in this holy discontent where we're always taking a risk? We're always doing something that we can't do on our own. The incident of Peter getting off the boat would be his first step to walking on water the rest of his life. Think about this. A simple fisherman. I've been to where Peter lived in Capernaum. It's a town smaller than Herrick. Just a little village off lake off the Sea of Galilee. And a simple fisherman from this little town today is what? Probably one of the 10 most popular historical figures in the history of mankind. And it all started with one step. It all started with getting his feet wet. No telling what God can do with us. No telling what God can do with our church. If we would just stretch ourselves a little bit. If we would just take some risks a little bit. If we would talk to some people that we normally don't talk to. If we would pray some prayers that we normally don't pray. What could God do for us? And today I want to give us 4 points how we know that God is calling us out of the boat. How do we know when to get out of the boat? How do we know when to ask God, is this you? All right, I'm going to give you these 4 things. The first one is this. What makes you frustrated? What makes you frustrated? What is it that you can't stand to see? What is it that when you see it, it makes you angry and you wish things were different? All of the great things that have happened in the kingdom of God have happened with people being frustrated by something they see and then doing something about it. If you're frustrated with something, it probably means that God wants you to do something about it. He's calling you out of the boat to address the issue. Moses couldn't stand to see his people afflicted and enslaved, and so he got out of his boat and led them and delivered them. David couldn't stand to see Goliath taunt Israel, and so he went and he met the giant and took the giant out. Nehemiah couldn't stand to hear that Jerusalem didn't have walls. It frustrated him, and so he didn't pray that God would send somebody else. No, he did something himself. He took the first steps, and he approached the king, and God gave him supernatural favor to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls. Jesus was frustrated to see. He could not stand to see religious systems keep people from truly having a relationship with God, so he did something about it. What is it that totally frustrates you? I cannot stand to see people come to church and not have an encounter with the presence of God. That's what frustrates me. What is it that frustrates you for God's kingdom? And often there's a gap between what we see and what God desires. There's a gap between reality and what God desires. And when we see that gap and it bothers us, that's usually what God is calling us to do to get out of the boat. God will allow someone to feel his frustration for the way things ought to be. And with that frustration becomes their fuel to do something about it. Those frustrations are not bad things. Those things are put there for God because maybe he is calling you to be the catalyst for something different. What is it? Maybe it could be that you can't stand to see children without basic necessities. You can't stand to see children without a bed. I have a good friend. She started a nonprofit called Kids Beds for Kids, and she goes and she raises money and she helps children in poverty have beds. You would not believe how many kids do not have a bed, and that was her frustration. And she has been blessed in that ministry. I have a great uncle, Jim Kilgore, that his frustration was he could not stand to see kids in the Philippines without a home. Many kids are orphaned in that part of the world, in particular the Philippines. So he started an orphanage. Why? Because he was frustrated. Maybe you can't stand to see those who are vulnerable be taken advantage of. Maybe it frustrates you to see that somebody who needs to know more about God, somebody who needs to know who Jesus is. Well, maybe he is the one, maybe you're the one that God is calling to talk to that person. And I want to ask you this question today. What is it that makes you frustrated, but you keep expecting someone else to do it? Can I stand on a soapbox today and make a little complaint? All right, is that all right? Everybody raise hands if that's okay. One of the things that will drive a pastor crazy is for well-meaning, good people to say, you know, pastor, the church should do blank. The church should start this ministry. And what they're really saying is, you should do it. And many times what I want to say is, well, if it bothers you so much, do I need to finish? Start it. You know, I heard of a pastor talking about a woman called and chewed him out because there was a woman in the community who was poor and she didn't have enough money to get groceries. And she said, I cannot believe that the church did not buy this woman groceries and just let him have it. And he said, ma'am, do you need my permission to go buy somebody groceries? Do you need my permission to go love on somebody? You don't have to have anybody's permission to go buy someone groceries. You don't have to have anyone's permission to love on somebody. If you see something that bothers you, you go do it. Because God is calling you to address the issue. What is it that makes you frustrated, but you keep waiting on someone else to do it? Now, I want to honor Becky Beeson. She started this prayer meeting. She's been frustrated by what Satan's been doing in her community in Pena. And so she started a prayer meeting every Saturday morning, the first Saturday of every month. She meets with a group of people and they do a prayer walk. Isn't that awesome? And I'm embarrassing her today, but that's all right. And people from different churches come and they pray together. Why? You know, one of the greatest things I like about it is she didn't ask me. She just did it. She didn't say, wouldn't it be great, Pastor, if you started a prayer meeting in Pena? She just did it. You are a minister. You're called by God. You're a part of a holy priesthood. Just go and love people. Go and pray. You don't have to have anyone's permission to love on people. Isn't that good? Let's praise God today. How many wants to love people? Talked about Brett and Rachel last week. They were frustrated by a lack of ministry to those who were addicted. And so they did something. We took some first steps. We went to some conferences. We found out, what do we have to do to pull this off? And it all started with that trip to a conference to find out more. And some of you, that's what you need to do. You need to take a first step. Go home today and Google some things. It's not going to cost you anything to Google. Don't do it now. Wait till you get home. But do some research. Point two. How to know that God's calling you out of the boat. What makes you compassionate? What makes you compassionate? One of God's attributes is he's compassionate. So what is it that breaks your heart? There are different people in which God will give you a supernatural love and compassion for. That doesn't mean that the rest of us don't notice or love them. It's just God has put a special place in their heart to you. And that probably is someone that God is wanting you to reach out to. Bishop talked about last week that they were on vacation in North Carolina. He saw a man that God just really drew him to. And so he went up and talked to him and found out his story and prayed with him. And that will happen when you walk on water, that God will help you to start those conversations. God will help you to pray with those people. This is usually a sign when you have a compassion for a certain cause or a certain person that God has tapped you on the shoulder and said, you are the one to go talk to them. This could be people who stand out to you in public. It could be someone that maybe comes into church and you just really have a burden for. Take the first step. Take the first step. Introduce yourself. Get their information. Find out what their needs are. Find out what they're going through at this point of life. You know, it's easy just to maybe put them on a prayer checklist, but maybe you just need to take the first step and talk to them and do more than just prayer, but follow through. All miracles begin with somebody having compassion. All miracles start with somebody having compassion. Jesus saw that the crowd was hungry, the 5,000, he saw that they were hungry, and it says that he had compassion upon them. He cared for them, and God supernaturally empowered a miracle for all of those people to eat. Wonder what would happen if we would follow through on every person that God has put compassion in our heart for. What could God do through us if we got our feet wet with compassion for every person that we cared for, that God brought into our life? I believe that God could do some supernatural things. So point two, compassion. Number three, what makes you afraid? What makes you afraid? What is it that intimidates you? I found that often it's those things that intimidate us and scare us. You would say, I could never do that. Those are the things that Jesus is saying, come on, because I want to show you and I want to break that spirit of fear in your life to show you I have supernatural dominion and power. You know, growing up, in case you don't know this, I am the introvert of the family. And it always really, really, the thought of doing what I'm doing right now scared me to death. And so I would avoid, even when I went to Bible college, if they asked me to preach, I would, you know, magically get sick Saturday night. You know, there was all kinds of things, excuses I would do. But you know what? Eventually, I just had to get my feet wet, and I had to do it scared. And what I found is that God supernaturally helps me to overcome those fears. And so whether it's public speaking, whether it's witnessing, going out and sharing your faith with somebody, whatever it is, just get your feet wet. Just start a conversation. Do something. And I want to tell you that slowly God will help you overcome that fear. God will give you confidence. Fears do not come from God. If it makes you afraid, it did not come from God. Anybody believe that today? If it makes you afraid, what does 2 Timothy 1:7 say? For God, I wonder if everybody could say this, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. I wonder if we could praise God for that awesome word. God has not given you the spirit of fear. Why? Because if you allow the spirit of fear to dominate your life, you're going to stay in the boat your whole life. And you're never going to step out. But sometimes you just got to step out and you got to get your feet wet afraid. You know, we can be afraid and not have the spirit of fear. Being afraid is just a part of life. There's going to be some things that make you afraid, but that doesn't mean you're controlled by it. Something can scare you, but it can't control you. You know, if somebody would walk in here with a gun, that would scare me, but that wouldn't have to control me. I could still control how I'd react to that person. So we have to have the mindset that my God can do anything. My God is all powerful. My God created everything that we see. My God gave me talents and he gave me abilities. God gave me supernatural abilities that go beyond my natural talents. I believe that God has a calling on my life. God has a purpose on my life. And God's going to give me the favor to do what he called me to do. And nothing can stop somebody who has the favor and blessing of God in their life. Does anybody believe that today? So I want to ask you, what is it that makes you afraid? What is it that just completely paralyzes you with fear? Maybe that's a sign that you need to get your feet wet in that area. Point number four, the fourth way that we know that God is calling us out of the boat is how he speaks to us. What is God saying to you? What is God saying to you? What are some dreams and visions that God has placed into your heart? What are some whispers that you've heard from God's voice drawing you into a certain direction, drawing you into a certain destiny? What are some things that God is talking to you? You know, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. Part of the reason you know that you're in relationship with God is that you hear his voice. You hear him talking to you. And I want to tell you that those whispers that he gives you, he'll confirm. I found in my life that that when I believe that God is calling me to step out of a boat, I'll see and I'll hear those things in two or three different ways. Maybe somebody will bring up that in a conversation. Maybe somebody will say something that they don't even know what they're saying. But to me, it stands out. Why? Because God has put those things into my spirit. Maybe you just began to see certain things. You begin to hear certain things that normally you don't pay attention to. But God has placed a dream and a vision in your heart, and those things stand out. I believe that God is talking to us all, that God is trying to get all of our attention because he has great things for us. And what we just need to take that first step, we need to get out of that boat and do something supernatural for Christ.